There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
But a fun Friday at the state capital of Bismarck. With What's On Your Mind, I'm Scott Hennon. Hey, any plans for the weekend? You're going to go to the Home and Garden Show in Williston? I would think that would be great fun. If I were you, I would be there this weekend. And you know what? One of our favorite sponsors, the good folks from Miracle Chair, are going to be at the Raymond Family Community Center this weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the event goes. And what is it? Let's see. 2 to 7. That's today. Tomorrow, 11 to 7. Sunday, 11 to 7. At the Raymond Family Community Center for the 5th Annual Home and Garden Show. And our friends from Miracle Chair will be there. So, this hour of the program brought to you by those good folks. MiracleChair.net is the website if you can't make it to Williston this weekend. Otherwise, check out their booth. Stop by. Say hi. Jerry Breyer will be there, and you can find that chair that has zero gravity, relaxing heat therapy, full body massage, just amazing. They also are going to have some of that Slim Roast coffee that we've been talking about. We're going to tell you more about that next week, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, coffee it's like an instant coffee, but you drink the coffee, you get all the benefits of coffee, the caffeine, you know, everything else, but you also get a little weight loss formula in there. So they'll be doing free samples of that in Williston as well. So just tell them Scott sent you. Stop by and say hello. All right, cranking up another hour. This hour on the program, we're going to chat with the chairs of the education committees in the state legislature. Talk a little about K-12 education spending. The House Majority Leader, Al Carlson, will join us a little later on in the hour as well. And, of course, your questions, your comments, welcome as well at 800-228-0550. That's our toll-free telephone number, 701-258-0550. Emails welcome studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. That's studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. I'm Scott Hennon. Todd, the radio god Mitchell, is here.
Hello.
You still got that new song for the governor there hanging out in the studio?
We always have it. I mean,
I think he was okay with that. I think... we'll have to see if that can make it through last minute here in the legislation.
You think he goes to this, huh? Whoops. I think I got the wrong one here. What the heck is going on?
Yeah. And by the way, Blair Thorson, if you're listening, my buddy Blair Thorson, I was just up on the House floor trying to find our next two guests who were gracious enough to change the time they were going to chat on the radio because of a little scheduling snafu with the leader.
You want to use this song, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, we'll always have that ready for
you. Crank it up, Blair. He was listening, by the way, at his desk, right there on the House floor, to What's On Your Mind. He said, hey, I'm listening to you right now. And I leaned in and I heard the news. So I knew that was fact. So anyway, shout out to Blair. Exactly right. All right, folks, we're going to talk a little K-12 education funding here today. And here with me is the chair of the House Education Committee, Mike Nathan, Representative Mike Nathan, Bismarck. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thanks. Good morning, Scott. Good to see you.
The pride of Montevideo, Minnesota.
That's right.
He is a Mohawk, ladies and gentlemen.
Two alums right here.
Exactly right. I know that because we both are proud Mohawks.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, even though they're not Mohawks anymore. Yeah.
Once a Mohawk, always a Mohawk, right?
Yes, exactly. And the chair of the Senate Education Committee, Tim Flackel, is here. Represents Fargo. Senator Flackel, nice to see you.
And originally from Forbes, North Dakota, home of the Highliners.
There you go. Did you know
figure that one out.
Did you know Nathie was a Mohawk?
I did not know until this very moment.
Is that right? Now you got some ammo against him right there.
Yeah.
PCB Dam.
Exactly right, yeah. So the historic three-hour, and the governor has confirmed this was the longest debate in the history of the North Dakota State Senate last night. 3 hours. That goes until the evening hours, and then that wraps up, and somebody said, well, there's a committee hearing going on. Are you kidding me? These guys are working all hours of the day. So I stroll over, and there these two guys are working on K-12 funding. So what was that last night? What were you doing?
Well, we had to, it's part of the process. This bill takes a long time to get really the physical process through, so we absolutely had to meet last night in order to try to finalize what we'd agreed to. So at that point, we adopted the last couple amendments that we put on there, including what we're looking at in terms of increases in per pupil payment, which was 3%, plus 3%, and then we get it to the Legislative Council, and then they have to start drafting. Right now we're reviewing the Hog House bill, which is 112 pages. So it takes a little while for us to physically go through that.
What does legislative business have to do with a hog house? You really got me there now.
Actually, that's supposedly from South Dakota originally, where there was a bill in the South Dakota legislature. Supposedly there's a derivation of that. And I'm better at answering earmarks because, as you know, may or may not know, pigs have earmarks. And sometimes pork is associated with pigs, of course. And hogs have earmarks that on one ear identifies what litter number they are and the other number within the litter. So I'm a little more adept on that
you're
one.
You're talking to a couple of city boys on a video here. He's lost me on this. Is it you, Mike?
Okay. Yeah, that's Highlander kind of talk.
I'm gone. The bottom line is what you guys were doing last night was working out the differences between the House and the Senate versions of K-12 funding. Would that be right, Chairman Nathan?
Yes, it would be. You know, we had pretty much agreed on any of the amendments having to do with policy in K-12, and that's I think we met 16 times, Senator Flacco.
Yep.
And so it really came down to the per pupil payment, as Tim had said, it's 3 and 3, and that's really where the negotiations were because that's quite a large number. And, you know, we're looking at a recording growth in students in North Dakota. The budget's based on 105,000 students in K-12 in the first year and 109 students the second year. So we're seeing quite a large growth. So when you're talking 3% per student through 181 school districts, that's quite a large number, and it's very challenging, especially with the budget that we have to do right now and trying to make everything work. So there were quite a few discussions with the Senate leadership, House leadership, and Tim and I were involved in that, and we were able to get that worked out yesterday afternoon. So then we wanted to kick it out because it takes time, as Senator Flacco said, to get this done. So we were here watching all 3 hours of last night's debate, and when they got done, we went in. Senator Flacco gaveled in, and we got out a little after 8:30 last night with this.
All right.
And if I could put a plug in to the Legislative Council's credit, they had it on my desk by 5:30 this morning.
So they work all night after
they were working throughout the night to get it to us so we could have it start reviewing right away first thing whenever you get there in the morning.
All right. I just think it's interesting that people understand a little bit of the kind of the back and forth. I mean, you read and hear and watch news reports about these things, but there's hours and hours and hours of work that go into them and studies and everything else. What getting away from the process and just go to the big picture of K-12 funding for education in North Dakota. We're talking about the public school system's K-12 funding and how the state takes tax dollars and funds education. I'll start with you, Chairman Nathan. What do you want people to know? What should they know about this work, this session?
Well, you know, that the legislature has stepped up to properly fund education. We're funding 80%. We started that last session. You know, we're constitutionally obligated to provide education for all students in North Dakota, and the legislature is going to step up to do that again. Again, our big challenge is the rising population growth that we have right now, and it's a great problem to have, but it also gives us a great challenge, not only how to deal with the kids and the schools having to grow, but also how we fund those students and making sure that we're getting the most bang for the buck. And it's a constant challenge because a lot of the schools are growing. Some are staying pretty even. But we also have a little pocket of schools out there. There's 60, 70 schools, and Senator Flacco will tell you, that are also experiencing some decline in population growth. And there's a certain part of the state, kind of that northeast part of the state. So it's that balance. We have growing schools on one end, and we have declining schools on the other. So with the per pupil payment, we're trying to get there. Now, some schools, and most of the schools will be very happy with this. Some will say, hey, we need more. But they always could use more. So, again, we have to keep that in mind when we're trying to make these decisions.
Same question. What do you want people to know about this?
Well, I think we try as best we can. We had an interim study where we spent a lot of time on this, too. So this didn't just happen during the 4 months in the legislative session. But we try to focus in those areas where we think and on strategies that we think and have seen where those dollars can do the most good. You know, we want to make sure that, as an example, we put some extra dollars in for those smaller schools because some of the evidence showed that there was just a little gap for some of those. We have English language learners. When we're looking at meeting our workforce needs, some of those people that are coming into North Dakota, whether it be from abroad as new Americans or in some cases coming up from the South, they have some language barriers, and we don't want them to not be able to succeed in school, because if they don't succeed in school, they can't really move well into our workforce. So that's some of the major things we're looking at. And again, we tried to give the schools, you know, we send the dollars out on behalf of the child, but we try to give them a lot of autonomy to do what's in the best interest of their situation, because what is something that will work well in a small school may not work in a big school, or some things that work in a big school certainly don't scale down to a smaller school. So we just have to let them use those dollars as best they see fit, too. So
you're proud of this outcome?
Yeah. You know, there's a couple areas that I'm particularly happy. We help the small schools, and that's been important, because Representative Nathie and myself, as chair of the committee, we have to look at things, at least, I think, in a different manner. Where we come from matters, but we also have to look out what's in the best interest of the entire state, every student, and we always have to think, if we were to live in a different community, would we have provided for those students? That was important. The other one that's exciting is, I think, quietly, will be open resource textbooks. And
you mentioned that last night. Hang on a sec. We're going to take a break. We'll pick up on that on the other side of the break. The chairs of the Senate and House Education Committee talking K-12 funding. Questions welcome on What's on Your Mind today from the Capitol.
Want to know what's on your mind? So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
A word about agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. When animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers that raise animals for food in our great state, one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices, and the measure passed with more than 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress. Tenants have made this country great. Learn more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state. Your future. Your Farm Bureau.
I'm Monsignor James Shea, President of the University of Mary in Bismarck. By offering 3 full semesters per year, the University of Mary gives you the option to get your bachelor's degree in 2.6 years. We call it year-round campus. And because you graduate sooner, you spend less, save more, and get a head start on your career. Less time, less cost, less debt. Come see how the University of Mary is proving that less can be more with our new year-round campus. Schedule a visit at yearroundcampus.com, yearroundcampus.com.
Slim Roast is one of the most delicious and effective products of our time. Now, finally, a simple way to lose weight and feel great while doing something that you already enjoy, drinking coffee. If you're going this weekend to Whittleston to the Home and Garden Show, Raymond Family Community Center, stop by the Miracle Chair booth, ask for my friend Jerry, tell him you want a free sample of Slim Roast. Tell him you heard Scott on the radio, and I want a free sample of that coffee, this delicious Italian dark roast with a powerful weight loss formula inside. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Home and Garden Show, Whittleston. See you there.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Past the hour, live from the state capital of Bismarck today. Your humble host, trying to learn a little bit about how K-12 education funding works from the guys that have been working this in the legislative session. And you had one more thing you wanted to say that you thought was innovative in this bill, Senator Flackel, and then I have a couple of other questions on this topic as well.
And maybe two things if we get to it, if we have time. But open resources, you know, instructional materials, because
Open resource textbooks, what's that mean?
Well, that means that, you know, as we evolve to new technologies, we need to try to use them in meaningful ways rather than, we found out in higher ed, as an example, that when people incorporate that, they can save a student $1,000 to $1,100 per year on books, as long as it's, you know, the faculty member and teacher. This is for K-12, so it would save the school districts. The average on the survey we did is that the average school spends about $150 per child.
And that's not something a school board now can decide whether or not to use an open resource
textbook? And then we're just setting up the parameters, maybe taking a couple the really great teachers and having them put together some curriculum. And if teacher 1, 2, and 25 want to take it on, you know, they live in different parts, we just said if we're going to invest in this and do this, it has to be made available to everybody in the state of North Dakota. I think it has great potential.
It saves money.
Millions of dollars.
Save money, okay.
Millions of dollars to the school districts.
Speaking of saving money, there are. I hear this a lot, that there is too much money spent in education for the value we get. And I found this from a friend, actually, but I was just asking, trying to poke around, and I'm sure there's zillions of charts like this out there, but it's actually per student spending. And it's inflation adjusted for fiscal year 08 to fiscal year 14. North Dakota has the most, like off the charts, 27.2%. Now, people are going to look at that and say, that means North Dakota's investing in their students. I get that, right? If I find South Dakota on this list, just to use a neighboring partner, where is South Dakota? They're not in the blue. They didn't spend more, they spend less. But actually, some would argue have higher outcomes. So I'll start with you, Chairman Nathan Engel, Chairman Flackel. Are we spending too much? What do you say to people who say we're spending too much and we're not getting the outcome we should?
Well, I think the reason why you see the increase in the chart that you have there obviously stems back to last session when we took the leap to 80% funding. And if I'm correct, I think that's one of the highest, if not the highest, state spending, like, as the chart shows, in the student spending. So we took that leap to go to 80% to help with property tax, to help alleviate the local school districts with their cost per student. So I think that what you have there, if I look at it correctly, is state dollars. I don't think it's overall state and local dollars, but it's state dollars that were invested in. And we definitely went in whole hog last session. I mean, we, to a tune of Senator Flack, almost $900 million. I mean, this budget we're going to pass out of here is a little over $1.9 billion. So are we getting the value for it? I think you can take a look at the ACT test. We're always near the top. You know, in the bill, we do have a study taking a look at the standards and assessments. Obviously, we had a lot of discussion on that in the first part of the session. So we're going to take a good, hard look at that and see how those are all working, see how the standards are doing, see if that's equating into the tests. So we're looking at it more deeply. And, you know, we had that Common Core debate, and now the education community has 2 years to prove to us and show us how that's working. So I think that alone, Scott, between the study, yeah, I think we come back here in 2 years, we'll see what we're getting.
All right. Senator Flackel, same question?
Yeah.
Too much? Getting the bang for the buck?
No, I think the citizens as a whole think that our schools are doing a good job. Certainly there are students, you know, we have 7,000 students, and they're not all going to perform at a high level. We have all different types of learning abilities and sometimes interests. And we certainly know that the parent is hugely important in that. Not all parents have the ability or the interest in being as highly supportive of their kids as they need to. But again, what Representative Nathan said is, I think about 42% or so of the entire amount of this bill that we're looking at this session is that supplanting local property tax relief, which people overwhelmingly were asking for and have appreciated. So when you take that into context, that, you know, does make those numbers real big, real fast. But we feel good about the property tax relief that we did. We're number two in the nation in the ACT test scores compared to those where all the students take the test. And we think that's important that we get a broad sampling and not just cherry picking having the top 20% take the test, because that doesn't give us a lot of meaningful data. There was a Gallup poll that came out last fall that showed North Dakotans feel that their local school districts, and again, this is to their school district's credit, are, you know, their satisfaction survey was the highest in the nation. So there's a lot of really good things going on with those dollars. So, you know, would we like to do it for less? That would be great. But we think that they've, you know, been pretty responsible in terms of what they're doing. We're certainly not near even the top half in terms of teacher compensation or some of these other things. We don't have the large classrooms that some of the other states do. I think that's important to the people. We have, as an example, in Bismarck and Fargo, we have more neighborhood schools. People seem to like those things, and they cost a little bit more.
And you know, Scott, getting to the surveys and everything, I mean, in the polls, I mean, it's all good. Senator Flacco said North Dakotans overwhelmingly support K-12 in this state. But that, you know, we do as lawmakers have to make sure we're vigilant on this money and make sure we are getting the bang for the buck. So, and we're trying to do that.
One of my favorite school districts in our state is Watford City, and Senator Flacco earlier mentioned smaller schools needing some help, and there's an example of a school district just inundated with growth, right? And I know that in your bill, Representative Nafee, the impact grants provided the construction loan to the schools. Did that survive? Where are we at with that?
Well, there's a couple different bills right now. There's a bill 2178, which is going to be taken up on the floor, which is going to provide some money for school construction loans. And then there's two other ones, 2039, which is another bill tied to 4003, which would be a ballot measure having to do with the foundation stabilization fund, correct, Senator?
Right.
And the loans are great, but, I mean, obviously, the big issue there is the funding mechanism in order to pay them back and alleviate some of the debt limit issue, and especially when you got Western North Dakota having a Bakken factor where the school, I mean, in my mind, a school in Watford City ought to have every bit as good a school as they do in Fargo, and they cost way more in Watford City than they do in Fargo or Bismarck, you know?
Yep. The Senator Flacco's on that conference committee.
And what we're doing is we're looking at, there's a Foundation Aid Stabilization Fund, which has grown beyond anyone's wildest imagination, and that was put in place in the 80s to ensure that whatever we appropriate, we can have those dollars. So if the economy takes a tumble, you know, post 9/11 or 9/11 on steroids, we still have some money in there to do that. But we're going to release some of those funds and ask the people to do that so that we can provide these low interest loans. And a 1%, which we have this session, or 2%, also saves them a great deal. It saves them millions.
Which is
property.
Terms
of property tax relief. Yeah. And, you know, Senator Rutt always points that out. So that will help. We also have for those counties and those in the oil areas, they get some money that is kind of offline, we'll call it. So that helps them a little bit too as far as some of their unique needs. And we're doing things in the Department of Public Instruction budget for rapid enrollment grants to make sure that we can try to get money in their hands in a more timely fashion.
20 seconds, different bill, early education childhood funding, which I know you were championing. Some folks have said that's daycare. That isn't early education funding. What do you say?
I think they're probably wrong in my estimation, because I would not have sponsored that bill and been supportive of that bill if it didn't have an education component. I think one of the great things that Senator Erbley came up to is saying that part of that curriculum must include some parental involvement, because we think that's really important, that the parent, sometimes it's their first child that goes into the program, so they understand it, so they have a, you know, understanding of what it takes to educate their child. So I think we're going to get some good information out of there as we move forward, and I don't think it will be lost over time, as some people worry about.
And the people of North Dakota wanted this. The studies show that there's a desire and need for this in North Dakota.
Thanks for all your hard work on the education front, gentlemen. Appreciate it very much. The two chairs of the Education Committees, House and Senate, Representative Mike Nafee Bismarck, Senator Tim Flackle, Fargo. More coming up. Al Carlson next.
Northwest Landowners Association in North Dakota was established to help maintain a balance between resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com to view our mission and get information on membership. The Northwest Landowners Association strives to create a network of information, support, education, promote property rights issues to ensure a balanced and fair development of our resources. To accomplish this, we bring together a network of property owners, operators, and residents to share and discuss information to ensure the resources are developed in a responsible manner. Go to nwlandowners.com.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. Genstone.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And GenStone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call GenStone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Live from the State Capitol, Bismarck today on What's On Your Mind, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com, that's studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Chatted today on the program with Governor Jack Dalrymple, and we chatted with the chairs of the House and Senate Education Committees, Tim Flackle and Mike Nathy, and now Al Carlson, the House Majority Leader, joins us on What's On Your Mind with your questions and comments. Welcome, as always, at 800-228-0550. That's, again, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. You can also email in studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. That's studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com if you have a question or comment for the leader, Al Carlson. Hello, sir. Thank you for being back with us today.
You bet. It's a busy day.
Feels like we've done this quite a few times through the session, and here we are right at about the 11th hour, day 75 of day 80, and just give us an overall sense of when you think this thing will wrap up and what's left to do.
Well, we've got a busy day today. We're going to go on the floor three times, and we're going to schedule conference committees up to 5:30. And we're trying to resolve. We've got about 12 budgets out there. We're ready to wrap up. We're really close. Big ones like water, human services, and K-12 education, higher education. I mean, some of the biggies are out there. And we're going to get those handled today. Highway Patrol, the Attorney General, big budgets with safety implications and adding people. And we're trying to get those things right so they can do it. The citizens want them to do for public safety and for educational funding and things. So it's going well, but it's always the sticky wickets at the end that get you.
Couple of issues I want to chat with you about that seem like they've been followed closely for most of the session and might be a little contentious here at the 11th hour. One is obviously the oil tax reform bill, which started in the House, and with your leadership and that of Craig Hedlunds, the chair of the House Finance and Tax Committee, obviously was put together. And then there's a little different version, obviously, that came out of the Senate last night, so curious what happens there. And I also want to ask you about PERS, because I know the Senate did ultimately shoot down something that started over in the House on the health insurance plans for state employees. So let's start with those two. First of all, what did you think of last night's debate in the Senate on the oil tax reform?
You know, it was the first time I decided to sit and listen to the whole debate to hear what the arguments are in the other chamber. And when we're just approaching the three-hour mark, I was wondering what I was thinking, because I'll get that same debate on the floor of the House today. But you know what? They came from every side and every issue. I think it was well vetted. I think Senator Cook was right on point. He kept trying to come back to what the bill did and the certainty and predictability of a stable rate. And I guess my overall comment on the whole issue is that everybody speculates on what the price of oil will be, but we need to make sure that everybody has a stable understandable level rate of taxation. So no matter what the price of that barrel of oil is, the state knows what it's going to be able to collect. Because with the trigger mechanism, that is not the case. Democrats view it from the money lost. We view it from the stability and the long-term predictability of the revenue for the industry. There's a different philosophical difference. There's a lot of grandstanding, a lot of little one-liners, a lot of comments. This issue has been around for years. This is the third time I've been on the issue. They want to say it was rushed through. I've been, since the very first day of the session, we've been tracking the price of oil, watching the triggers, watching our revenue decline and decline and decline and decline, and then trying to budget with that. And it was a no-brainer for me getting lined up saying we've got to address this issue. It's a simple bill. You can argue over philosophy, whether you want to make sure that you're not losing any money on the backside. The only funny part of the bill compared to the House is that they're basically just saying the triggers are gone after a period to the end of the year. And our bill said that the rates are always the same unless the trigger hits. Well, they went right to the number. They raised it a half, went right to the 10, but they added a high end number that said if it goes over $90 a barrel, the rate goes back to 11, which is still less than the 11.5. But it's more than the 10 that would be the effective total rate. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I hadn't looked at it that way. My supply-side economist to me, from working in the free market says, you know what, when you make more, you shouldn't have to be taxed more. But the industry was okay with that.
And that was really more for the three affiliated tribes, was it not?
You know, we've worked long and hard with those folks. I'm not sure, Scott, what they're going to do on this whole agreement. But in all the meetings we had with them, the discussion was we don't want to be any part of the triggers. We want out. And I kept telling them, you're joined at the hip with us on our tax policy. They said, we want a flat rate, then we want to be able to float that rate depending on the price. Well, take a look at the final bill, and you might say there's some similarities there. Whether they like it or not, I haven't talked to them. I couldn't tell you.
The most forceful criticism that came from the opposition on this was that it was rushed, it was arrogant, it was late in the session, it was all of that. How did this come to be? I mean, I've heard a story that Senator Schneider actually started negotiating with the tribes on changing the deal, which is one of the reasons this started. So that would suggest actually one of the reasons this was addressed so late was because a Democratic leader started negotiating with the tribes about changing the Texas.
Well, I wouldn't say that he instigated it, but when they were in, he was in the meeting, Representative Onstead and he and Senator Wardner and I met with the tribes. And we sat down and talked, and they said, what are you going to do? And Representative Schneider said, you know, maybe a floating tax is the thing to do. So, I mean, he can hold himself completely harmless, but he did bring that up to him. I think it gave them a sense that maybe something was going to happen. What it is what it is. We're the sponsors of the bill. We're going to run the bill up on the floor in the House today at 1 o'clock. We're going to take that vote. We'll answer any questions. We'll have the same debate probably that we had on last Monday. And we think that the process, it's not a new topic. If it was an old topic, that's fine. It's not an old topic. It's not a new topic. I mean, we've discussed it at length over the years. The last two bienniums, we've decided not to do anything. And now if the trigger were to come on and stay on the whole biennium, Scott, we'd have $6 billion less in oil revenue than we anticipated, and our sales and income tax would be way below our projections.
I mean, really, the winner last night was education funding, water funding, property tax relief, infrastructure spending. I mean, the bill really takes better care of state revenue streams than it does oil companies, doesn't it?
You know, and that's they don't agree with us on the stability part of it. All they look at is saying, well, you're giving away some money. They've failed to take into account all the money that it will raise. They failed to take into account the money that would lose if those triggers stayed on for an extended period of time. I mean, I agree with them. This is a world commodity. The world is very fragile on oil. If the president signs an agreement with Iran and they lift the embargo, we could see $30 oil. When they dump all that oil they got backlogged in Iran back on the world market, you could see a price that goes through the bottom. And who knows?
Do you agree with that statement that this is a better deal for state revenue and, you know, all those pots I mentioned than it is the oil companies? This is no sweetheart deal for oil companies.
Actually, they're going to, if the triggers went on, this is a tax increase for the oil companies. And the bill that I put on was a tax increase. It was taking away a promise. You know, and I told them we'll keep our promise. And as time went on, if they had not come to the table and been willing to discuss this, they'd like to do something, we probably wouldn't have been willing to even introduce this bill. But between the Native Americans, the industry, and the instability of our revenue stream as legislators, our job is to come here, not just create another study, it's to craft policy and pass it. And our policy is to balance the budget, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
When will you vote on this, and what do you do about the differences with the Senate version?
You know, we're going to concur on the Senate version. The motion today on the floor will be to concur with the Senate bill. If we get the necessary votes to do that, that bill heads down the hall to the governor.
That means that 1 o'clock today.
1 o'clock today.
You vote on this, and you're voting on what passed in the Senate.
Yep,
and
exactly as it came to us.
It fast tracks it, basically.
It doesn't fast track it. It just says we agree with what they did. You know, it's just the process. Every bill does that. If we agree, it's gone down the hall.
Yeah, so you agree at this point rather than having a conference committee and trying to...
Well, I don't know that there's any differences that we want to talk about. I mean, it's our bill with a little different wrinkle, and we think it's that what they did is just fine.
All right, let's talk about PERS. PERS funding still needs to be done, and... I understand that there is an effort underway to preserve some of the work of the House related to the scrutiny that you would like on the PERS board. First, we should probably back up and just explain for folks that maybe aren't following this as closely as everybody, but it's a big story. PERS is the public employees, and they have negotiated a new contract with Sanford Health, and it is different than the contract that that Blue Cross Blue Shield provided for employees, and this caused some concern for you. You sent Representative George Kaiser to the PERS board. He wasn't well received in there, and that led to some legislation. Why is the legislation necessary that the Senate killed?
You know, the only thing we're doing, Scott, and everybody has their version, we do not care who the administrator is of the plan. As long as the plan that I had yesterday is the plan I have tomorrow. And that's why we introduced the bill, because it was different. Now, they've done in the Senate, they killed our bill 46-0. They amended it and then killed it. Said we don't need it, everything is fine. So we added a couple of things back in about creating a firewall with a company that is owned when the service company is also the mother company of the hospital. We just wanted to make sure there's a proper firewall in there. We did some things with the money to make sure that if that's your bid, that's your bid. We're not going to leave an extra pool of money out there so that you can enhance. The PERS board has the ability to enhance that plan. If they find these differences, they tell us it's all the same, then it's all the same. We don't care if it's the Blues or if it's Sanford. If they saved us some money and they're the same, we're glad about that.
You're worried about the process.
We want to make sure it's the same. And the bidding process, we believe the PERS board should change. There's no legislative involvement, but let me tell you, if something goes south on this deal, they won't blame the PERS board because the legislature funds it. They're going to blame the legislature. So we still left some of those private members elected by the employees on there, but we also added some legislators to the board.
All right, and that passed the House. It was killed in the Senate.
Well, ours passed the House. Now we have the PERS budget. We took some of that language. The money, obviously, is in the PERS budget to fund the health care plan. And by the way, it's a very rich plan. We pay 100% of the costs that have really very reasonable co-pays and deductibles, and they've been the same for 7 years. But our premium is now up to about $1,130 per month per plan that we're paying for our employees. I would guess that the private sector citizen that's paying their own at $500, $600, $700, and $800 would love to have the same opportunity to be part of that plan.
So when will that be voted on?
Well, we're going to try and get that. The conference, the House kicked out that bill and the OMB bill, which will be the last two out of the chamber, out of the conference committees. They passed those out yesterday. They'll be on the floor at 4:30. We'll try and get those passed today, and then they'll go to conference committee.
All right, and then ultimately you'll have to decide.
Then they'll go to final approval.
What you're essentially doing is tying PERS funding to the reforms that you want in the PERS process.
All we said is that what your bid is what your bid is, and we funded exactly that.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, take a short break. Come back with more. Representative Al Carlson, House Majority Leader, with us at the State Capitol. Our final segment next on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
We are often asked what the difference is between the North Dakota Soybean Council and the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. The council and the association are two different organizations with one focus, to ensure the success of North Dakota soybean farmers. Both groups serve this purpose in different ways. The Soybean Council collects and invests soybean checkoff dollars in such areas as production research, producer education, and programs designed to increase demand and expand markets for soybeans and soy products. The Soybean Growers Association is a statewide, member-driven organization that focuses on state and national policy issues, which by law the checkoff cannot do. They conduct legislative activities in Bismarck and Washington to improve the profitability of their members and the entire soybean industry. For more information, visit our website at ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
The Home and Garden Show is on right now at the Raymond Family Community Center and continues through Sunday. Stop by the Miracle Chair booth at the Raymond Family Community Center. And while you're there, checking out that Miracle Chair, which is a Miracle Chair. Amazing. I'd love for you to enjoy a delicious Italian dark roast coffee and find out how you can enjoy that coffee every day and lose weight, too. That's right. Because it's a delicious dark roast coffee with a powerful weight loss formula inside. Find out more this weekend through Sunday, Raymond Family Community Center for the Home and Garden Show, Williston. See you there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns, call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Rolling on with a Friday edition of What's On Your Mind, brought to you in part by, whenever we hit the road, we fuel up by PetroServe USA locations, right here in the shadow of the Capitol, right there on South University in Fargo, and a lot of places in between and all around Minnesota and North Dakota, helping America fuel better by connecting North Dakota's oil fields with North Dakota's corn fields. And if it isn't your fuel tank that needs filling, at PetroServe USA, where you can get some choice at the pump, like E15 or E85, your choice. Gives the consumer the choice. Maybe it's your stomach that needs filling. The 4-for-4 deals, the hot stuff, personal pan pizza, a couple cookies, and a 20-ounce drink or coffee. Four items, $4, PetroServe USA. Tell them Scott sent you. 11 before the hour, final segment with Representative Al Carlson on the final hours of the legislative session from Bismarck today. Let me talk a little bit about flood funding. We haven't, you know, obviously with a dry cycle here, we're not talking, too much about flood funding. Obviously, Fargo is concerned about the diversion and whatnot, but it hasn't, I guess, dominated the way it does in some sessions. There was one particular member of the state Senate last night who was suggesting that what you were doing in the way of an oil tax reform was going to threaten flood funding and water needs. Is there any worry there? Do we have a lack of resources? And what happened this session?
You know, obviously everything is way down. We've lost $1 billion almost in revenue just with our existing tax structure just because of the low price of what we anticipated. Almost $1 billion. That's a lot of money. But and that funnels into buckets, and the Resources Trust Fund is one of them. This adds stability to that trust fund. It doesn't add a big loss because if you have 5% tax total instead of 11.5%, which the triggers do, you're putting little or no money in those buckets. At 10% with no triggers, 5 and 5 on extraction and production, you are putting a significant amount of money in water. You're putting it in the legacy fund. You're putting it in the common schools trust fund. You're filling the buckets, whereas you're not filling them when those taxes are dropped. In fact, if they'd have stayed down all by any of them, there would have been very little money in any of the buckets. There'd have been no strategic investment fund dollars at all.
So happy with the outcome of the session?
You know what? The outcome is good. I had a press conference before I got elected. People said it was another thing way too late. Said we need to have at least $120 million over the next 4 years for interior flood protection, interior city flood protection. I want you to know that promise has been turned into reality. There's $60 million now and $60 the next biennium for interior flood protection to help prevent all these houses that with the new FEMA map are going to pay this increased flood insurance in Fargo. That money is coming home, no strings attached. We're going to do some really good things on the inner city to make sure that whether or not the diversion is ever built, and by the way, that money is still set aside at $69 million per biennium until the commitment's complete. This is an addition. That money's coming forward. The senator that was talking about it yesterday had no idea what we were even doing and hadn't followed the issue at all. Let me tell you, we made sure it happened in the House, and it's in conference committee. They'll agree on it today.
Fargo senator wasn't paying attention to Fargo funding.
Well, that'd be my analysis of the whole thing.
Mike in Mandan, your question for Majority Leader Al Carlson. Go ahead.
Yeah, Al, say, I want to, not really a question, a comment. I want to thank you for all your hard work getting us some tax relief out here. I know it wasn't much, but, hey, every little bit helped. We really appreciate it.
You bet. You're welcome. And I've always said, and I believe in old Ronald Reagan's theory, that the money's a lot safer in your pockets than that of the government at any level.
And, Mike, thank you for the reminder on that because, there was the news coverage was a little sketchy on that. There was an income tax relief bill that was killed in the Senate. We talked about it on the air, and I'm telling you what, it was 2 hours of phone calls. People ticked off about it. Way more than any calls complaining about a proposed oil tax reform, by the way. They wanted that income tax relief, and I did mention, of course, it was still alive in the House, but it was...
Write these numbers down, Scott, for the future. $731 million into the K-12 funding formula for property tax relief.
Thanks a lot, Al.
12% or $250 million of a direct payment on your house, my house, every other house and property in North Dakota for property tax relief directly off the bottom line of your bill, and $109 million in corporate and personal income tax relief. Add the total. There's $1 billion. Even in a down economy, we increase spending by 12%, and we returned $1 billion back to the people.
And we have been hearing from a lot of people recently concerned about their property taxes going up, largely because of valuations. Have we done enough to control local spending to make sure those dollars go to where you want them?
Well, I have a great amendment to put on the OMB bill. It probably won't fly, but it requires a vote of the people if budgets go up more than 5% in real dollars. Not in mills, because you can raise the assessments and keep the mills the same, still raise a lot more money. We still haven't solved the property tax relief. The Democrats... And I'll pick on them a little bit. They come running in here, say the most important thing is property tax relief. They introduced not one bill of any kind of reform this whole session. So words are cheap. Action is required by to get something done.
30 seconds left, but what do you want folks to know about this session?
You know, I think that we'd had a pretty good balance working with resources that were less. I think we had a great balance between we made our commitment to K-12 funding. We kept our commitment to human services. We added public safety positions in a lot of places, that, and whether it be regulators in the health department, industrial commission, we made sure that we covered the bases. Everybody says you can always do more. We're spending almost 12% more general fund dollars than we did before. The concern is not this biennium, because good management, we set the money aside. Next biennium, if things stay down, Scott, it's going to be a lot different story.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate the time, as always. Look forward to, one final chat on all the final outcomes, which a few days left. You're probably going to be out Tuesday, Monday? Hoping Tuesday. Okay, so stay tuned, folks. God bless you one and all. Thanks for listening to What's on Your Mind. We'll see you Monday. Have a great day. Bye-bye. If you ever wanted to own a Mercedes-Benz, you can at a really, really competitive price these days. Just compare. And you know what? There's no vehicle on the road today that compares. How do I know? I'm taking the time to drive them from Valley Imports. Whether it's a C-Class or the E-Class or this GLK class, the sedans, the wagons, the GL and the ML are great SUV models. Do me a favor. Call my friends at Valley Imports or go to their website, valleyimports.com. Here's what you'll get. 24/7 best price. If you mention my name, 2 years of free maintenance. No kidding. They even have the roadside service 24/7, no matter where you are, all throughout North Dakota and a good chunk of western Minnesota, South Dakota, Montana, too. And you know what? If you don't find what you're looking for on the website, particular class you want, they'll get it for you. ValleyImports.com or call 888-928-7431. 888-928-7431. Tell them Scott sent you.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.